right now on VFN TV. Listen, the wait is over. 2020, the wait is over. Midnight First 2020, the cycle ended. The wait is over. A completeness has happened. The cycle has been completed, and God is beginning to move powerfully. We're releasing these prophetic words from Hank Kuhneman, and also details I'm going to go over in detail about how you can win and succeed, and strategies to be able to make sure that God requires us to actually fight for our success, that He gives us things that He expects us to be able to bear interest on. Guess what? All the details right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. Your host, Greg Lancaster.
Prophecy, prophecy, prophecy for 2020. God has so many good things in store. It's so encouraging. I hope you've been following us all this month as we're talking about, you know, the prophetic words, encouraging prophetic words. Some of them from Hank Kuhneman. But also, this program is going to have prophetic words from Kenneth Copeland. God spoke specifically to him about some things taking place in 2020. And I've been talking about it as well in regards to the 60s and the 70s is when we had Charles Simpson on, one of the charismatic renewal movement leaders, sharing about what happened in the 60s and 70s when God poured out His Spirit. We're going to be talking about that and so much more. But you think about it, that 2020 is the beginning of a decade of difference, that God is putting distinctions on those that are His and not His. And also, specifically, God showing Himself powerfully in a way to be able not just to His church, but also to those that are not His, so they can know who He is and acknowledge Him and move in a powerful way. Now, think about this word from Hank Kuhneman about how it's a decade of difference, and that this cycle, this thing, this treadmill that you've been on, and doesn't seem like is it ever going to end? Is it ever going to stop? Well, guess what? At midnight on January the 1st, 2020, guess what happened? The cycle ended. Hank Kuhneman, check it out.
Okay, look at Exodus 33. One of the greatest things that's going to mark this new decade of difference. Moses is crying out to God, and maybe it's where your heart's been, and those of you that are watching, where you've been saying, come on, God. I was just telling this to Brenda the other day. I said, you know what? Sometimes, because you know there's a side where you prophesy stuff, and you're under the anointing, and then there's the vulnerable human side. You're like, come on, God. When is this thing going to happen? You know what I mean? Certain things. And Moses was saying, God, how will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? And what will be the difference? What else will distinguish me? What will separate me? He's saying, Lord, what will be the difference? And your people from all the other people. In other words, Lord, there's got to be a distinction. There's got to be a separation. Look at verse 19. God gives him the answer. And this is one of the reasons. Listen, if you've been going through stuff, the wait is over. The wait, the heaviness is over. The cycle is complete. I'm telling you, when that clock strikes midnight, you need to shout, because there's going to be an anointing of God released. And it's going to come for a new decade that's going to be known as a decade of difference. And it's going to be an anointing release. I'm telling you, I can feel it so strong, where God is going to begin to bring a grand reveal of His wonder. But watch this, verse 19. God says, all right, I'll cause my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion upon whom I'll have compassion. Do you understand this is what God's going to do? He's going to show His goodness. Everybody prophesies about Matthew 24. Earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, right? Nations in perplexity, but they forget verse 14. You know what verse 14 says? All the other stuff, earthquakes and stuff, Jesus said those are birth pains. But verse 14 is the sign. You know what the sign is? Matthew 24, 14. Put that up quickly, and I'm going to show you one last scripture. Verse 14, Matthew 24, 14. We've got to get this scripture down as we understand the decade of difference. I just showed you separation, God bringing His glory. And this gospel, what's the gospel? Come on, good news. The good news of my kingdom shall be preached in all the world. What's God going to pass by? What's going to be part of the decade of difference? God's goodness. And then what are we going to be able to preach to other people? God is good. Look at me. Look at what he's done. Look at my kids aren't sick. Come on. My vehicles aren't breaking down. My home is blessed. My body is blessed. Why? Because God has passed by me in this new decade of difference with his goodness. And then when this gospel of good news is preached as a witness, then the end comes. God's setting you up, setting us up. Keep standing, stand on your feet. Deuteronomy 11, verse 12. I said, Lord, don't forget about this great nation, United States. And I was led to this scripture. I had never seen it before. If you have, great. But, you know, I hadn't seen it before. I know I read Deuteronomy 11, but never saw it. And whether it's the United States or where you're watching around the world, you need to believe this. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. Underlying cares, that's a very strong prophetic word. Because in the Hebrew, that means, you could read it like this. It is a land the Lord your God walks to and fro throughout, or walks upon. And he uses the word tread. It's not just a nice little tiptoe walk. It's a purposeful treading of taking ground, taking territory, walking with attitude. Are you here? And the eyes of the Lord, your God, are continually on it from the beginning of 2020 to the end of the decade of difference. That's my translation. How many have heard the prophecies? I'm walking upon the land. God's eyes are on us. How many are ready for it? Come on. Let's give God a big shout of praise. All right. Well, if you need prayer, they're up here up front to pray for you. Let's do this with every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here quickly. You've never asked Jesus to come into your heart or to forgive your sins, to be the Lord of your life. Let's just pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So right now, I call upon you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive me of any and all sin and be the Lord of my life. And from this moment forward, I will walk with you. Amen.
Powerful. Listen, if you prayed that prayer right there, I want to welcome you to the family of God. Listen, that's all it takes is believing and reaching out to God and saying, I want you to be the Lord of my life. We have some things for you. You can go to meetmyfather.org to be able to join in the family of God, some things to encourage you, to inspire you, a place to get warm, how to be able to do everything you need to do as a believer. Welcome to the family of God. Well, he talks about specifically, you know, that all those dark things are taking place, but at the same time, God's going to show his goodness. So many people think about the wars and rumors of wars and the deception and the faults and this and the other. But he says at the very same time, the Word of God, Jesus said at the very same time is Matthew 24:14, that during this time, the good news of him, his kingship, his kingdom will be preached to all the nations. That's one of the key things that takes place. So at this dark backdrop, the light himself shows up in a powerful way. And he's talking about walking amongst the nation. I want to tell you something. Lord, specifically, you know, I encountered the Lord in a powerful, powerful prophetic encounter with him. It was in this night vision, and that he showed himself powerfully to me. It was something. He showed up, and I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at him, and it's different than, it's kind of hard to explain him. There was a picture that was drawn by some 8-year-old girl sometime back that she has a gift to be able to do art. She kind of drew him the way I actually saw him this way. But he had a short beard, he had a short hair, I was just powerful. And I felt this love in my heart for him. He's talking about walking, he who walks amongst us. Revelation says, he who walks amongst the lampstands. You know, we're the light of God. Jesus brought the light into the world, and when we receive Jesus, the light of God comes into our life, which is the life of man. And so Jesus, I saw him, he was standing there amongst us, and there was people that knew him, and they knew who he was. There's people who didn't know him and didn't even know he was there, and there's other people that conspired against him. But anyway, I saw him, I just wanted just to give him a hug. It's like, oh, it's Jesus, right? And so I just hugged him. You know, Hank Kudeman is talking about the Lord walking amongst the land. I saw him walking. So So anyway, so I was hugging, hugging him like this, and I just felt the fullness of God in my spirit. It was amazing that you have been designed to love God. Did you know that? Your fullest, most best fulfillment that you'll ever have in your life is when you're fully engaged loving Jesus, right? He loves you. And I was like, oh my goodness. And after a while, you're thinking, he's going to like, okay, that's enough. But he didn't. He didn't turn away any of my love. It was just so powerful. Then he began to walk amongst the nation. I saw him walking walking, and all these things are going on. And like I said, the people that knew him and came to him, and others that didn't know him didn't even recognize him, and others conspired against him. And I'm watching this take place. And what I thought was very interesting was that, you know, you hear people portray Jesus as all these different things, but what I saw for myself was, despite people who didn't know him, despite people who conspired and tried to create a narrative that he doesn't exist, that he's not Jesus, this type of thing, it didn't bother him at all. He was just solid. He was just so solid. He wasn't bothered what's going on. Well, we shouldn't be bothered. If you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and all these things are taking place, this talks about in Matthew 24 and just the things that happen in general in a fallen world, we should be just confident as Jesus. And so he was walking, he wasn't caught up in the affairs of this life and things that are going on. He's caught up in you. He loves you. He gave his life for you. So I want to encourage you, this awesome God is talking about specifically that this is a completed cycle, that the wait is over, that a distinction is coming. And at midnight on January 1st, 2020, it all began, it all ended, the cycle ended, and the decade of difference began. And it's so exciting, which means this. It looks like things are going to get darker, but you're going to get lighter. But he says that you're a children of the light. The kings come to your light. He says thick darkness and gross darkness covers the people and covers the earth, but light is what's inside of you, and people will come to your light. The darker things get, the brighter, which means this. You're going to be blessed like Israel was in Goshen. Everybody else is experiencing these economic crises, this loss of their herds or loss of their firstborn, flies, gnats, you know, all this difficult things in their agricultural foods and all. But God had his people in a place called Goshen, and they didn't experience those things. And because of the blood applied to the doorpost back then, when you have the blood of Jesus applied to your heart now, even death has no place over you. So these are exciting. These are very exciting days. I want you to be encouraged. 2020 is definitely the decade of difference. The cycle has ended. Receive it. Remember, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Jehoshaphat spoke specifically of learning a life lesson that if you believe God, you'll be established. But if you believe the prophets of God, you will succeed. Take this word, believe it. I just speak it over you in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you. Listen, follow us. Join with our 45,000+ subscribers on our YouTube channel. We're just so excited. We newly have launched our YouTube channel. Over 1.7 million hours have been watched all around the world. We're so excited about you doing that. And if you haven't yet, I want to encourage you, go. You see the address on how to get to it. Just go find us there, VFN TV on YouTube, and subscribe and connect to us, because we have so many things that we don't get a chance to cover right here on the program. We go into details. And so join our 45,000+ subscribers. And if you have subscribed, thank you. Encourage your friends to subscribe. Amazing things are going to begin to take place. We want to reveal them to you so you're encouraged and inspired. And as you go and you watch our channel over a period of time, you're going to be so encouraged and so inspired and joining in with the 1.7+ million hours that have already been watched. Thank you for being one of our audience members. Listen, we're going to be right back after this break. Be sure to comment below. We love hearing your thoughts. Listen, make sure part of our community, join the 45,000 folks that have subscribed to our YouTube channel and share your comments. Back after the break.
We'll be right back.
Nobody even comes close to comparing to Jesus. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn by his resurrection of those from the dead. Who shall declare his generation? He is one with us, but he's definitely beyond us. He's great in his nature. His nature is incomprehensible. He is incomparable. He is divine. He's unique. He's equal with God. He's one with the Father. He filleth all things, yet is not contained by all things. All things were made by him, of him, and through him, and to him are all things. He is before all things. By him does all things exist. He is God. He is man. He's as truly God as if he were not man, yet completely and perfectly man as if he were not God. He's a perfect man with no stain, no spot, no original sin, no actual sin. He was the perfect, blameless, sinless Son of God. He stands alone, ladies and gentlemen.
That so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act. And I feel that communism often stands in the way of certain First Amendment privileges that we have in America, for instance, that I just couldn't adjust to.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Listen, we call you family. This is a book I wrote. It's called I Will Fight. You have to fight for your success, 10 strategies for success. You've got to get a copy of this. I'm not trying to sell a book. I'm just telling you. God showed me specifically what he plans to do. But he also showed me that the thing inside of us that we have to learn how to fight for success, that we have to fight the good fight of faith. And there's specific strategies that you have to focus on. And each of these you need to develop to be able to succeed. And I talk about 10 of those strategies and also talk about the reason why. The why I wrote the book. Because God showed me a wealth transfer is coming, but he also, because of his glory, just like Hank Hooneman's prophesying about the glory of God's coming and it's going to set us distinctively different. The harvest is coming. The last time's harvest is coming. Great things are happening. But God showed me that he wanted to get wealth to us, his people, and money and wealth has come to us, but we don't know how to sustain wealth. We don't know how to manage wealth. We don't understand the character involved in it. And so he wants to get, and it's not so that you have more things, it's so that you can do more in the kingdom of God. Literally, kingdom philanthropic believers. We're transferring God's wealth into the hands and the needs of others and bringing in this great harvest. Well, and so I write about that in my first chapter of the book. I talk about this prophetic encounter I have with God, talking specifically what happened with his glory, with the wealth transfer, what specifically he said about diamonds and God's whistle and how he's going to gather in the harvest. Then I go into 10 strategies of how to actually fight. And sad to say, you know, you got to fight. If anybody's telling you that you don't have to fight, they're lying to you. And you walk around defeated all the time. And you won't be when you understand you have to fight. So the first thing I start talking about is a fight. I kind of break it down a little bit and show you how historically we've always fought for things, that how David and others had to fight, and heroes in the Bible were people that had to stand up and to be able to fight, and they were fighting for success. We're fighting to, God is specifically, Jesus said this, he said that You know, the kingdom is like this. In other words, God's kingdom is like this. An owner of a business had to go away. Guess who that is? Jesus came and he went away, right? But the owner gave to three of his employees talents. He gave to one, he gave one talent. To another one, he gave two talents. To another, he gave five talents. So there's talents that God's giving you. Or at least in this parable, the owner was giving to those that he had left with his business. Then he leaves, but he comes back after a long, long time. He comes back. And guess what? He expects something from what he gave. This is Jesus telling us this is what the kingdom is like. And so the one that had five talents, he said, listen, I invested what you gave me, what was yours, and I gained more. I gained five more. So he had a total of 10 to give back to the master. The one that had two talents said, I did the same thing. I invested, I worked, and I took the two, and I got two more. So he had four to give back to the master. But the one that had one talent, he was given one talent. He says, I was afraid. I knew you work hard. This is somebody who really deals with pride. They're self-aware. They think they know everything. They think God understood. And he says, so what I did, I took what you gave me, and I buried it. You ever heard somebody call about burying the business? I buried it so that I wouldn't lose it. He totally missed the point. It was already God's already. He didn't need that talent. He already had the talent. He just gave that talent on loan to him. He was supposed to do something. Did you know the Second Great Awakening in America is reported that this is the message that was preached that brought in the Second Great Awakening, that God expects you to do something with your life, that you have to fight for that success? This is not about like, you know, how to get $1 million. It's like how to answer to God, because Jesus is coming back. If we die, we go answer for our life. What do we do with what he's given us? So I talk about that fight and how important it is and begin to say, you know, we got to fight for the success. And so I talk about 10 strategies. The first strategy I talk about is the battlefield. You're the battlefield in your mind. Listen, it is in your mind. If you win it in your mind, you'll win it. But if you can't win it in your mind, I don't care what's going on. I don't care how much medication that you got. I don't care what you do. If you don't change your mind, you'll never change your life. So I talk specifically about how to win the battle in your mind. What Jesus said specifically, what Paul said specifically about our mind and how we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, that he gives us the ability to take every thought and force it to be in compliance with what God says about our life, what God says over us. So I talk about that. So first you got to know where your battlefield. If you don't know where your enemy is, and your mind's not your enemy, but your enemy will fight you in your mind, let me tell you something. You'll lose because you're always fighting somewhere else. You're trying something else. You're blaming other people for your condition. But it's your mind. You got to be able to change your mind and take a hold of it. Ever how a man thinks he is in his heart, so is he. So your thoughts are very important. I cover a lot more details in that, but I also talk about a second strategy about believing. Well, once you first got to get your thoughts right before you start believing. People say, I believe. It's like, you believe what? What do you believe, right? So I break that down about belief and faith and the hindrances and how you had to be able to go out and begin to believe specifically for a specific thing, and about walking by faith, how your mind is like a yard. You got to keep it up. You got to maintain it, and all these different aspects of it and the weaknesses and the measure of success and how the different ways that God's got. And what moves God is not poverty, sickness, or disease or lack. What moves God is faith. Faith moves God. So belief and faith is actually being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So how can you be sure and certain if you don't even have your thoughts right about what's going on? So you lock it in your belief. The third strategy I talk about, values, which are so important, understanding and operating within your value system. Also, oh my goodness, we covered this before. Your values, being able to know your values, discover your values, because you understand if you live your whole life for things that are not valuable to you, by the time you get to the end of your life, you're going to have regret and wish you wouldn't have lived the life that you lived. Next thing is about deciding, making a clear-cut decision. You know, you think about surgery, cutting things off. I mean, a complete, true decision. If anybody knows they made a decision, is the person that made a decision, because they're the ones that literally cut off something in their life. Because I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. I decided I'm going to be in this ministry. I decided that I'm going to be married. I decided that I'm going to have this business and that we're going to succeed. I've decided this is what I'm doing for my life. That's very encouraging. I'll be so inspired. I was just reading again this morning. But the other is, you know, after another strategy, the fifth strategy is about speaking. That once your thoughts are clear, once your beliefs are clear, once your values are clear, once you made a decision, guess what? Now you can start talking about your success. You begin to speak things out. You know, he says you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said to be true. And it's going to come to pass. Notice belief and strategy and thought, that had to be all lined up. So I talk about that as well. The sixth strategy, I talk about commitment. You know, the difference between so many people who don't succeed and do succeed is commitment. Listen, this is so encouraging. You got to get this book. You got to get it. I got it on Kindle version. Soon it'll be on Audible version. We actually have the book itself that you can order. You can find the details below. But it'll encourage you as well. I talk about morning glory. A person without having a morning plan is literally planning to fail. You got to plan each day and lay it out specifically and spend that time abiding with God and doing what's right. I talk about launching your day right. The eighth strategy, I talk about action. You know, how you have different battles you're going to have to fight, fighting for your nerve. You're going to have to fight for your bench, you know, for your team. You're going to have to fight for your why. Why am I doing this? If you lose your why, you'll get lost. You got to be able to fight to be able to stay on the front lines. I talk about when, you know, how kings were supposed to be at war and David wasn't, and you can get lost if you're not on the front lines. You know, the fight over should I do this, you shouldn't do this, and that type of thing is so important. The fight over barbs and thorns, which is your integrity and character. I'm telling you, this book is just packed with all kinds of nuggets that can just help you out. And the ninth strategy about don't quitting, the difference between failure and success quite often is actually 5 more minutes. I talk about specifically the things that encourage you not to quit. And finally, I talk about the 10th strategy, which is the blessing, that you're blessed to be a blessing. You've got to get a copy of this book. Listen, I poured my whole life into this, and I spent a year writing it so you can have it. You're going to be so blessed. Over 502 wisdom nuggets. The book is I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Success. You have to fight for your success. Of all the things that Paul said to his spiritual son, Timothy, he said, fight. You have to fight. Don't you just love a fighter? I talk about specific fighters, that people that struggled and fought, but they just usually the Rockies, you know, the people that just press in and they don't give up and they don't quit. Don't you love people that don't quit? Listen, God loves people who don't quit. He says, those that don't fade back. He talks about it in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, listen, don't be those that shrink back and leave and are destroyed, but be those that stand strong and stay and fight the good fight of faith. I want to pray with you right now. Don't forget, this is the details how to get the book. You can see it on your screen below. Comment on YouTube. We love to hear from you right there. Let me pray with you right now. Maybe that's you. You're one like, I want success in my life. I need to learn how to fight. I want to pray right now. Father God, I just pray right now for each and every one that's watching and listening, God. I just speak success over them. Lord, I pray integrity and character and belief. God, the ability to commit, to stick, stay, and stand, God. I pray for divine strategies, Father God, clarity over the vision that you've given them to walk out, God, and the ability to see the talents that you've given them and to bring increase in those talents, God, in Jesus' name. And listen, Lord, pray this first. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.